Welcome to the Star News Spotlight. I'm your host, Nish Wyseth. It's Thursday, April 10th. Let's start with the headlines. Over 200 people lined the sidewalk of Art Roberts Park for the Hands Off rally, part of a nationwide protest against the Trump administration's treatment of federal workers and public lands. Signs at the rally called for the protection of Social Security, healthcare, women's rights, and federal employees. Local Forest Service employees shared personal stories of abrupt firings and chaotic rehiring, highlighting the uncertainty that they face. Organizer Bill Thomas said the rally drew Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike. The demonstration was a show of solidarity for workers and a call to preserve public services that benefit all citizens. And in school district news, the McCall Donnelly School District is now accepting applications for a new principal after Tim Thomas was promoted to superintendent in March. Thomas has served as principal of McCall Donnelly High School since 2004 and stepped in as interim superintendent when Eric Pingree retired last fall. The school board has begun assembling a committee to evaluate candidates and aims to make a recommendation by May 12th. The district is looking for someone who can honor the high school's legacy while innovating for the future. Applicants from within and outside the district are encouraged to apply, with full details available at mdsd.org. And in some New Meadows news, New Meadows City Council has approved relocating City Hall to the historic Pacific and Idaho Northern Railway Depot on Commercial Avenue. Under a 99-year lease, the Adams County Historical Society will maintain exhibit space, while the city uses the building for administrative offices and public meetings. The depot will feature a lobby for museum displays and bill payments, and an auditorium for events and council meetings. Mayor Julie Good said this move meets the city's space needs while preserving a historical landmark. Technology and security upgrades are planned before the move, which is expected to be more cost-effective than new construction. And in some development news, developer Alan Cottle has introduced a new plan for a 42-unit housing development on First Street, dubbed Trail's Edge. This revised proposal includes 15 duplexes and 4 triplexes, more green space, and better snow storage compared to a previous plan that was denied by the City Council last year. The property borders the McCall Railroad pathway and would feature several public trails running east to west. Cottle said the redesign reflects community feedback and aims to balance growth with livability. Under McCall's local housing incentive program, up to 6 units could be reserved as workforce housing. We have some updates on that Sampson Trail storage facility. McCall's Planning and Zoning Commission says it will likely deny a proposed 37-unit storage facility on Sampson Trail due to concerns over safety and visual impact along a designated scenic route. The proposal has faced opposition for potentially blocking mountain views and causing traffic issues with large trailers entering into the site. Commissioners haven't yet voted, but expect to do so at their next meeting on May 6th. The applicant plans to appeal to the Valley County Commission if it's denied. The project has undergone multiple hearings, denials, and appeals over the past 2 years, with a strong local resistance continuing. We'll continue to follow the story. And there's some interesting developments happening with the Stibnite mine. Perpetua Resources is facing a class action lawsuit alleging that it misled investors about the rising costs of the Stibnite Gold Project. The suit claims the company failed to disclose the full impact of inflation and infrastructure costs, leading investors to buy stock at artificially inflated prices. A sharp stock drop followed a February update that revealed nearly $1 billion in unexpected costs. Only one plaintiff has been named, but the suit seeks to include others who purchased stock between April 2024 and February 2025. Perpetua denies any wrongdoing and says it will defend its transparency and reporting practices in court. We'll keep you updated as the story develops. And just a quick update on that closure on Highway 95. With it closed for landslide repairs near Tamarack Mill, commuters are using a mix of shuttle services and trail detours to get around. A free UTV shuttle and bus routes have been set up to connect commuters between parking lots on either side of the closure and link them to McCall and New Meadows. The UTV shuttle runs daily, offering a warm ride even in rain and cold. Local residents, including Kirk and Lisa Kundrick, say the setup has made a challenging situation manageable. Construction crews are ahead of schedule, with a retaining wall underway and road rebuilding set to begin soon. Here's hoping that they get it fixed. For this week's deep dive, we're talking to Maura Goldstein, the director of Roots Forest School, Idaho's first forest preschool located in Ponderosa State Park here in McCall, where ample space and varied ecotones set the stage for innovative, emergent curriculum and place-based and inquiry-based learning for children ages 18 months to 5 years old. Roots Forest School is a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization, and Roots provides a balance of child-led play and focused experiential learning. Students at Roots engage with their surroundings and are immersed in nature. Their place-based curriculum follows the flow of the seasons, with the study of local ecology and seasonal changes, as well as learning the importance of taking care of this place, its creatures, and each other. Maura Goldstein joined Roots Forest School in 2016. She's adapted as the school's needs have changed, and she now serves as the director of operations in addition to her teaching duties. She's a native of the East Coast and was determined to move to Idaho after working a season in the Payette National Forest in 2009. As a teacher at Roots, she is inspired daily by her students' enthusiasm and the setting where they work and play. However, after nearly 10 years in Ponderosa State Park, Roots Forest School will need to find a new home following the 2025-26 school year. The Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation is ending the school's operating agreement, citing the program's growth and increased demand for park space. Roots has served over 650 students since 2015 with its outdoor, nature-based preschool model. A plan to build a permanent facility in the park was recently denied despite earlier approval, and the school is now searching for a whole new location and is inviting community input. I wanted to get a closer look at the school's current predicament and their hopes for the future, so I sat down with Maura this week to hear more of the story. Here's my interview with Maura Goldstein from Roots Forest School. Maura, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about Roots. What is it? What do you guys do? How does it serve the kids in the community? How do you guys teach? All those sorts of fun things. Tell us about it.
We are a nature-based preschool that operates in Ponderosa State Park, and we are primarily outdoors for our three-hour classes, and we serve children 18 months to 5 years in our classes. So we offer parent-toddler classes or caregiver-toddler classes for 18-month to three-year-olds and drop-off preschool classes for 3 to 5-year-olds.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we are proud to have grown as much as we have. We've been at the same size for the past several years, but the program started 10 years ago as like a small, essentially kind of parent child playgroup.
Yeah. So how many students do you have right now?
We have 72.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Among all those classes and ages, there's 72 enrolled in the program, in the school.
Wow. And you guys have a board? Are you a nonprofit? What's kind of your structure?
Yeah, we are a 501c3 nonprofit and have been for many years. And that helps us apply for grants and receive other funding because tuition only covers about half of our operating costs.
Yeah, that makes sense. So talk to me about that kind of nature-based approach. What does that look like in practicality? What are some of the cool things that the kids get to do being in the park that they don't
necessarily get to do in the traditional classroom? What does that look like?
Oh, yeah. So, well, for one thing, we're outside every time they come to school, which is 2 or 3 days per week. Mm-hmm. And we have what we refer to as a classroom, but it's set up in the forest.
Yeah.
And so it has some of the things that you would find in like a traditional preschool setting, like a kitchen and a dramatic play area and books and coloring and drawing materials. But all of that is outdoors, and we're outdoors every class day in all types of weather. We do have the option to go indoors mm-hmm. if it's really inclement. But some of the really special, I mean, so we're just immersed in our environment and in the seasonal changes. And so there's just kind of that threaded through all of the experiences at Roots. And then there are a lot of traditions and rituals throughout the year. Like each month, classes hike to the lake and we sit silently for a couple minutes and observe, and then we share what we've observed and we record those observations. And so we just at the end of March did our March lake hike and shared with them what they, before we went on our hike, shared the children's observations, what they noticed from February. And so then we're going to the lake and saying, okay, is it still frozen? What do you notice? What are the trees looking like? Is it cold? What's the weather doing? What can you see on the beach? And they just become really familiar with all these very special places in Ponderosa Park and very attuned to the changes that are happening. We are talking, of course, about what the wildlife is doing and observing wildlife. We just recently helped the interpretive ranger at the park clean out the birdhouses to prepare for the return of bluebirds and swallows in the sagebrush meadow. So these children are just growing up with a really strong connection to where they live and the natural world, and an appreciation of that, and just the ability to be in open space and move their bodies how they want to and be loud when they want to. And that is really special and important too, I think.
I imagine it breeds a lot of curiosity in ways that, you know, a traditional environment may not, you know, be conducive to. So
absolutely. And we kind of, our approach is to follow that curiosity. And so when they make an observation, or maybe sometimes we'll provoke curiosity by putting out something new in the classroom, like bones. Mm. And then that can lead to like a month-long project or just a more in-depth study. So we try to work with an emergent curriculum, which is just that, like seeing what the children are doing and are interested in, and then following that and seeing where it goes.
That's really cool. What are some of the ways that you collaborate with the greater community of McCall, any organizations or just things around town? Like, how is the community involved in the lifeblood of Roots and what's happening there?
Yeah, that's really important to us. And I'm really proud of kind of all the ways that we're able to partner with different organizations and businesses. One way is through field trips. Like we have done downhill skiing field trips every year. Yeah. And then we also introduce the children to cross-country skiing. And so we have community volunteers come in and teach us how to do that, or help us as we learn. And then in that too, we're borrowing skis from the city Parks and Rec, or from Bear Basin, from local families. A couple of our classes are very lucky to have a field trip to Pica Bakery coming up.
Yum. Delicious. One of my new favorite places in town.
They'll be making pizza.
So cool.
We also, for Earth Day, we're going to ride the bus into town and pick up trash along the bike path behind the library. And so it's really kind of a multi-directional knowledge exchange. And we just also had like an amazing ornithologist named Heather Hayes come into our classes and teach us about birds.
Cool.
Because we're really thinking about birds at this time of year.
Yeah.
We really love to draw from our amazing community of just, local experts. And then we notice that when people come to Roots and hang out with our children, they have a lot of fun and they want to come back. So it's not usually too hard to schedule again for the next year.
That's really cool. So it was just recently announced that the 2025-26 school year will be Roots last year in Ponderosa State Park. Can you share the circumstances leading to what happened to that? What's the scoop?
This sort of, I think, kind of the origin of this outcome was a little over a year ago, I guess in February 24, mm-hmm. we were told that we would no longer be able to use the activity center, which is the yep. old visitor center in the yep. park, and has served as our base of operations basically for all 10 years that we've mm-hmm. been there. The park has been kind enough to let us use that space. We have an office in there and we mm-hmm. store our materials in there and we prep for class in that building. And so, yes, we were informed last winter that we would no longer be able to use that space, mm-hmm. I guess, after this school year. And we were offered a space to build something in the park to replace mm-hmm. the functions of the activity center. And as we moved along in that process and were in conversation with the Department of Parks and Recreation, things seemed to shift. And then we were informed in February of this year that we actually needed to just be out of the park altogether in June 2026. So it was unexpected because we were kind of looking to establish ourselves a little bit more and build something that to fit our needs. Mm. And of course, disappointing because we love being in the park and the management yeah. here has been so wonderful and expresses just how much they love having us there and how they think it really serves the mission of the state park. So, it'll be a sad departure for us.
Yeah, that's super tough. So, how are you guys planning to adapt to the change? Do you have any plans for a new location or any partnerships coming online? I'm sure the community, at least the Roots community, has probably been pretty supportive. But you know, what has kind of come to the surface as far as what's next?
Yeah, we have an amazing board of directors and, immediately had a pretty robust list of ideas mm-hmm. And that list has only been growing as community members approach us with their ideas for where we might go. So those are public entities, private entities. We're kind of trying to leave no stone unturned as far as just sure. like considering all the options. Because I think ultimately our goal is just to find something permanent that really meets our needs and also has a lot of the same features that we already enjoy. Yeah. So kind of the combination of different ecosystems and environments. But yeah, we are optimistic that something will work out. And mm-hmm. I think just what I've been hearing from individuals and groups in the community has only encouraged optimism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can the local community kind of come alongside Roots and help you guys during this time? Do you just need more ideas, more money? Like, what does that look like for you guys? What do you need?
Yeah, potentially ideas. We have a pretty long list already, as I said. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, financial support is always helpful for our nonprofit because it just allows us to sure. prioritize like delivering great programming. And in this case, we had already started a capital campaign to mm-hmm. fundraise for the building we were planning to build in the yeah. park. And so we've made some really good progress towards that goal. And but still have a ways to go towards that goal. And we don't yet know whether we will need more funding than we originally thought to establish ourselves in our new home. So yeah. We are participating in Idaho Gives this year, as we right. do every year.
Yeah.
And so that's one way that people can support us. We always have an amazing show mm-hmm. from our community and during Idaho Gives. And then if there comes a time where it's like, it would be helpful if people write letters or advocate for us in some other way, we will certainly put that out to the community. Yeah.
Okay, great. So as you think about this kind of relocation and keeping that in mind, what's the hope and the long-term vision for Roots? What do you hope for?
Yeah, I can say I love working at Roots. So I just definitely, thank you. I want to see it continue. And I definitely hear that from community members. Our alumni stay so connected, and it just really speaks to kind of the impact of our program and the value that it has in this community. So I think, yeah, the long-term vision is to just keep providing the amazing programming that we do and to keep be able to keep being able to support the amazing staff that we have. And also, we're always looking to expand access to our school. So we've always offered tuition assistance. And in the last couple of years, I've started focusing a little bit more on how do we kind of remove some of the other barriers that might prevent people from attending Roots, like whether it's the schedule or the transportation. And so perhaps that's also something that in this new location, you know, we can, we would have perhaps more flexibility to make adjustments that make our school more accessible to this community.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there anything else that you want us to know or anything that would be helpful for the community to know about what's next?
Well, I would just love to express my gratitude to everyone that's reached out and that supports us and that's spreading the word to support us. And I think, just support for early childhood education in general is so important. It's not just Roots that's, you know, facing challenges, and some of our challenges are unique, but in general, early childhood education in Idaho is really facing an uphill battle. And so just for people to be aware of that and to be active on that front when opportunities arise.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for your time. And we really hope that you guys at Roots and the kids find a soft place to land soon.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay, listeners, is more sun and warmth on the way to melt our bitter, frozen mountain hearts? Let's hear what's in the forecast for this upcoming week. Here's Todd Cook with the weather.
Hey there, this is Todd from McCall Weather on Facebook with your weekly outlook. Well, the past few days we've seen rain, a little bit of snow, sleet, all that good stuff. We ended up getting about a quarter to a half inch of water with this latest system, which is a little bit less than I expected, but still a decent amount for this time of year. We dry out today and early Friday before the next system moves in, which is slated Friday afternoon and into Sunday morning. The models have been all over the place with this system. Overall, they are showing the brunt of it moving to our northwest. However, we're going to be on the southern portion of this system, which would still bring us a decent chance for some rain. The amount of rain is probably going to be around a quarter of an inch. But as I said, there's been some inconsistencies with the models. So ranging anywhere from a tenth of an inch to a half of an inch. So split the difference there with a quarter of an inch. After that, next week, we're going to dry back out, and warm up a little bit. Highs, today, Thursday, are going to top out around 60 in McCall, but then drop down into the low to mid 40s over the weekend. Before next week, like I said, warming back up into the 50s to around 60 by later in the week. Also after this, weekend system, it looks like it's going to stay dry, most of next week, if not the entire week. Of course, I said that last week about this coming week, but some things do change, and that's why you should visit my Facebook page, McCall Weather, and I will keep you updated between my reports here once a week on the Spotlight. So that's it for this week, and I'll see you next week on the Spotlight.
With spring sports underway, it's time for our roundup of results for the past week. Garrett Rogers and Charlotte Dunn each won gold in the high jump as the Cascade track and field team competed at a meet held last week at Skyview High School. Rogers, a sophomore, cleared 5 feet 10 inches to claim victory among the boys, delivering a personal best mark. Dunn, a freshman, also topped 4 feet 10 inches to grab gold and give the Ramblers a sweep of the event at the multi-class meet, which featured teams from the Long Pin, Western Idaho, and Southern Idaho conferences. Following a singular season, a pair of McCall Donnelly boys basketball players have received numerous accolades. Sam Penny and Michael Foster were recently recognized with spots on the 4A All-Idaho team after helping the Vandals to back-to-back district championships and a third-place trophy from the state. Well done, boys. The McCall Donnelly track and field team put Snake River Valley Conference teams on notice last week by sweeping the top honors for both boys and girls at the SRV meet held in Homedale. It was a repeat performance fueled by multiple individual and relay wins. Cedar Saxton sprang for a triple and a double as the McCall Donnelly softball team earned its first win of the season Saturday, a 12-7 victory over North Fremont at the Lady Dog Spring Classic in Kimberly. McCall Donnelly collected a season-high 13 hits during the tournament closer, including 3 triples and 5 doubles. The Vandals dropped a Snake River Valley Conference game to Coal Valley on Monday to fall 1-11, but good news is coming. The Vandals will host a home game today in Cascade, welcoming Coal Valley for a rematch with a 4:30 p.m. start. The field is located near Fisher Pond. Despite a late-game rally sparked by Cole Noggle's clutch 2-run double in the 7th inning, the McCall Donnelly Vandals fell to Nyssa 7-6 in extra innings on Saturday. Noggle led the offense with 2 hits, and Chase Galliard tied the game by scoring in a groundout. Sam Jacobson and Noggle combined for 13 strikeouts on the mound. Earlier in the week, the Vandals struggled against tough opponents, falling 26-1 to New Plymouth and dropping 2 games to Weezer, 17-1 and 12-3, despite solid hitting efforts from Michael Foster and others. August Dyson and Bisbee Henderson had the best rounds as the McCall Donnelly golf team traveled to Kuna on Monday for a bout with Falcon Crest Golf Course. Dyson shot 40 over 9 holes to lead the Vandal boys, while Henderson's 54 led the girls at a gathering of 3A and 4A schools hosted by Coal Valley. Well done, everyone, this week. We look forward to seeing how you perform next week. Keep up all the hard work. We're cheering you on. Well, a lot is happening in Valley and Adams counties. Let's take a look at some upcoming events. Brundage Mountain Resort will conclude the ski season in style with the 3rd annual Cardboard Classic on Saturday and the last track Summit Toast on Sunday. Competitors in the Cardboard Classic will race downhill in vessels made entirely of cardboard, duct tape, paint, imagination, and probably a little bit of prayers, hoping that it makes it to the bottom. The main event starts at 1 p.m. with vessel check earlier at 10:30 a.m. Categories include youth and adult divisions, with prizes awarded for the funniest, most creative, and most enthusiastic entries. And Sunday marks the final day of the ski season. Make sure you grab a beverage and meet at the summit at 4 p.m. for a heartfelt toast to another memorable ski season and a final traverse of the Main Street Run. We'll see you there. The 2025 FOSDIC scholarship deadline is Friday, April 18th, with completed applications due by April 15th. Funded through the annual Meadows Valley Benefit Golf Tournament, the scholarship supports academic, technical, or apprenticeship programs. Previous recipients and non-first-year students are welcome to apply. Applications are available at Meadows Valley High School or by contacting Scholarship Chair Loretta McConner at 208-630-3298. You can submit completed forms to the school by mail to P.O. Box 263 in New Meadows, 83654, or you can email team, T-E-A-M, McConner, M-C-C-O-N-N-O-R, at frontiernet.net. Celebrate Earth Day on Tuesday, April 22nd from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the McCall Public Library Community Room. The all-ages event will feature participatory dances, poetry by Carla Miller and others, music, art, and a watershed exhibit by Women's Climate Action and the North Fork Payette Watershed Coalition. Earth Day, first held in 1970, was inspired by growing environmental concerns and helped launch significant U.S. environmental protections. Well, Easter is right around the corner. Make sure you check out a list of services held at local churches in the Valley, but also check out several other events happening in this week's print edition of the Star News. Well, I think that just about does it for this week's edition of the Star News Spotlight. As always, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And leave us a rating or review if you can, or share the episode on social media. If you have comments or suggestions for the podcast, or any news tips or stories, please reach out to starnewspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening. I'm so glad that you joined me. Stay connected, stay curious, and stay tuned. I'll see you next week. The Star News Spotlight podcast is a Star News production. It's hosted and produced by me, Nish Wyseth, and recorded at and in partnership with the McCall Public Library. Max Silverson fact-checks the show, and stories are written by Max Silverson, Sierra Christie, Ben Fletcher, and me. Thanks again.